910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Michael Cohen's back on the witness stand for what is expected to be the last day of the prosecution's case in former President Trump's criminal hush money trial. ABC's Aaron Katursky says the judge has indicated that closing arguments will not occur until next week.
He doesn't want there to be a lot of space between closing arguments, the charge to the jury, and when deliberations begin. So it looks like he'll let the closings occur next week. And then the jury charge and finally deliberations.
No word so far from U.S. officials over the International Criminal Court seeking arrest warrants for Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Hamas leaders for war crimes and crimes against humanity. The U.S. does not recognize the ICC. The container ship that caused the Baltimore Bridge collapse is being towed back to port. The Marine Channel expected to reopen by the end of the month. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin Republicans are stressing party unity after this weekend's state convention in Appleton. U.S. Senate candidate Eric Hovde.
To the old guard. Welcome the new guard. They bring new energy, new ideas. We need them to refresh our party. And to the new guard, be respectful of the old guard. They have worked tirelessly for this party, not only for years, but for decades.
Delegates elected Terry Diedrich and Pam Travis to the Republican National Committee. Travis helped submit a false slate of electors for Donald Trump 3.5 years ago. Wisconsin unemployment is down to less than 3%. That's more than a full percentage point under the national average. The number of jobless people statewide went down about 1,300 since last month. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has announced the creation of the Spongy Moth Resource Center. According to a press release, the Resource Center is part of an effort to give residents the latest information on the spread of the invasive moths, as well as how to identify and dispose of them. In the Northwest region, officials are using crop dusters to lay down insecticides in areas where spongy moths have grown out of control throughout May and June. Residents should dispose of all spongy moths they see. The University of Minnesota Duluth is undertaking a massive kitchen renovation this summer. According to a Northern News Now report, the university's main kitchen is long overdue for an upgrade to better serve the community, and this summer it will get a $25 million renovation. Officials expect the new kitchen project to be finished sometime in January or February, and once complete, it will be able to employ up to 250 students each year. The university will also undertake some other smaller campus projects. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Pack is back in Green Bay. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers began OTAs, voluntary off-season practices. The team has a new defensive coordinator, Jeff Hafley. Matt LaFleur on what he likes about Hafley's coaching style.
Just to see how he interacts with the guys. You know, he does a great job of giving them the why behind everything we're doing. You know, being able to throw counters to what people are going to do.
NBA, the team that eliminated the Bucks, the Indiana Pacers, winning Game 7 over the Knicks, 130-109 in New York to advance in the playoffs. Knicks guard Jalen Brunson suffering a broken hand in the game. Baseball, the Brewers in Miami, after losing 9-4 to the Astros. Pat Murphy with praise for Houston catcher and former Brewer Victor Caratini.
And I'll tell you, you want an unsung hero of the weekend, it's Caratini. Caratini did a great job understanding how to get the most out of his pitchers. He made a difference. If it wasn't noticed, Caratini made a difference this weekend.
That's Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Clouds with patchy fog and a few isolated showers and thundershowers are possible today. Our high right around 69. Tonight, 49. Tomorrow, scattered rain and thunderstorms. And there could be some heavy rain with 1 to 2 inches or more possible by late tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
The The Todd Alba Show.
Trumpster asked the judge and said, hey, can I not come to court because I want to go to my son's graduation? So here now, from the Raw story, Trump plans Minnesota fundraiser on the day of Barron's graduation. When I graduated, you have a get-together with family and friends. It's kind of a day. A parent shouldn't just be ducking in and out.
You have to be a parent for that. And he is a parent in name only. A pino.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
One of the most prolific columnists in the Midwest. Mr. James Causey, one of your columns, you mentioned that you got into the news because of the news quiz.
Yes. I would like to be the first person picked. And so.
Yes. Getting picked first for the news quiz teams.
We need to bring that back, actually. I need to talk to my paper about bringing that back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
On my next show, I am so excited to be interviewing Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, my former boss. You're not going to want to miss it.
Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, and Calvin Putenhoff coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call or text. Same number, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Very busy show coming up for a Monday. Coming up at 10:33, Corrine Hendrickson is going to be joining us from a group called We Can, which stands for Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed. And we know childcare is a major issue in Wisconsin, not just in Wisconsin, but all around the country. And what a challenging time it is for daycares and daycare workers and for parents. So we're going to be talking to Corrine Hendrickson coming up at 10:33 about what actions they would like to see happen. And then coming up at 10:50, we will keep the conversation going with Sarah Cazell, who is also part of this group, and she is an early childhood provider. So it'd be nice to get her perspective as one who deals with this on a daily basis. And as we said, too, we have a round of the good, the bad, and please make it go away. Coming up at 11:06, Corey Hartman, our very own from Civic Media, is going to join us at 11:33. We had some thunderstorms come through a little bit earlier this morning. There are more on the way, and we may have some more severe weather we need to be on the lookout for tomorrow, so we'll have an update with Corey coming up at 11:33. Stay tuned for that if you can.
Yeah, we lost some power this morning here and there.
You flickered a couple times, didn't you?
I flickered, yeah, like right before Pat's show. He and I were catching up on the live stream and like getting ready for it, and all of a sudden it just pop, pop, and he goes, oh no.
Yeah, that's always right before you go on the air. That's usually the last thing you would like to see happen is the lights flickering. It's like, oh.
Or someone shows up with a pizza, because then you're like, oh, man, I want some pizza. Showtime. I can't eat pizza.
Oh, then you have to wait.
I know.
This is important if you are on the roads, especially in the Milwaukee area. WISN reporting the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office has announced a freeway closure. This is westbound 94 at approximately 9 a.m. They're looking for physical evidence after a reported shooting. So the shutdown affects the area from the stadium interchange to 60th Street. We talked about this website before. It's 511wi.gov. Very useful website. It lists all the accidents and all the incidents all across the state. Yeah. That's 511wi.gov. And as I'm looking at here, I can see the bright red spots. The ramp from Brewers Boulevard north to 94 closed because of that incident. Also 94 westbound closed from 175 north, also because of that incident. So things very, very snarled up in that area. And the ramp from Wisconsin 175 south to 94 west also shut down.
Great.
So, yeah, it's not going to be good traveling in that area. So if you can avoid the stadium interchange, that would probably be a good idea. Find some way to get around that. But download the app.
Yeah, 511.wi.gov. Wi.gov. Yeah, it's a great app.
It really is. It's very useful. As is the Civic Media app.
What?
Yes.
Also, is that what?
Also
that,
very useful.
That's called a segue.
Yeah. And it's free. So
no, it's not. I don't believe you. It can't be free. It's too good.
It is absolutely free. It allows you to listen to all of the stations and all of the shows all across the state in case you can't pick them up on traditional terrestrial radio. Mm-hmm. So you can listen on the app. Download the Civic Media app wherever you get your app stores.
And what do we say?
It probably won't change the course of your entire life,
But
it shouldn't make it worse.
I want to hear I don't want anyone's life to go bad,
no.
But I do want to hear, like, I downloaded your app and then my wife left me. Why did that happen? I don't know.
I would like it to be, I downloaded your app and I met the person of my dreams.
There it is. I don't want bad things to happen, but when we say something like it won't, like, make your life any worse, I feel like that's life saying, oh, hold my beer. I'll take care of this.
I just don't want to oversell it.
No, exactly. But it's free and wonderful.
It is free and wonderful. Tom from L.A. is on the line to start things off. Good morning, Tom. How you doing? What did you want to start off with?
Good morning, guys. Hey, I just wanted to say to all the people out there in the listening audience that something to really start thinking about is that this upcoming election and all elections are not about Joe Biden or about Donald Trump or owning the libs or any of that stuff. This is about all of us. This is about we the people. This is about what we want for our kids, our grandkids, the actual policies that are going to be there to help, whether we have a democracy, whether we have an authoritarian dictatorship. And we really need to stop and just step back and go, boy, what is it do I want for my, future generations? And I think we get caught up in the minutiae and the, zingers and this and that, but it all comes down to policy. And that's why I would recommend everyone go to a website called selectacandidatequiz.com, where it's just got policy questions, and then it tells you who it is that you line up with the most. And, if it's more Democratic, I say vote more Democratic. If it's more Republican, vote more Republican. But at least you're voting against your own best interest. And I just want people, as they start the week and they start the month, or the end of the month, to think about, this isn't about who wins and who loses. This is about all of us winning.
What was the name of that website again, Tom? It sounds interesting. It sounds like a dating app for political parties.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's selectacandidatequiz.com.
Selectacandidatequiz.com. Selectacandidatequiz.com. That's great. We'll put that in the show notes.
I'll take a look at it first.
Well, yes.
Yeah, we'll review the site first.
Thank you so much, Tom. Really appreciate it. As always, you can join the conversation, too, at 855-752-4842 or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. So over the weekend, the Wisconsin Republican Party held their convention in Appleton.
Trying to find my like little party.
It was an event.
Yeah.
Yes, and there are still so many mixed messages coming out from Wisconsin Republicans and kind of Republicans across the country. I just find it really interesting. The one thing they do see, well, maybe not. I was going to say they're similar on no one is pledging that they're going to accept the results, except Eric Hovde did. Eric Hovde did. He did say on upfront, on WISN upfront, that he will accept the results of the 2024 election, and he thinks Donald Trump should do the same. That's not going to happen.
No.
Unless he wins. And now Senator Ron Johnson, not pledging to accept the results of the November election. This is in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Leaving the door open to objecting to the certification of election results. Johnson, talking to the Cap Times on Saturday, could not answer if he would accept the results of the 2024 election, calling it, quote, an impossible hypothetical, unquote.
No, that wasn't, no, the hypothetical, that's, does he know what a hypothetical is?
I don't know.
Hypothetically, Ron Johnson doesn't know what hypothetical means.
We have to see exactly what happens, Johnson said. If there are all kinds of abuses, we might have to start questioning those abuses, might have to investigate them. I certainly want to accept the results.
Well, luckily in the 2020 election, there were so few incidences and allegations and abuses. we were able to just accept it for what it was, because the 2020 election was smooth, fair, and safe, as has been reported by many, many groups, many politicians.
How many lawsuits were there?
61
lawsuits.
61, and they won one out of 61, so way to go. And even our very own Robin Voss, the popcorn king himself, said that the 2020 election was fair and free and safe. So,
and people who say that it isn't are whack jobs.
And stupid. And morons. I feel like, I mean, we're not asking you to make a big, deep decision here, Mr. Senator Johnson. Are you going to just accept it? That's not really a hypothetical. We're just saying, hey, A or B. Which one are you going to pick here?
But again, all of them are setting the stage, and it happened over the weekend with some of the Sunday talk shows. Marco Rubio saying the same thing. Well, we'll have to see. And again, this is all setting the stage for if the former president loses in November, we're going to be right back to where we were.
And that's, Marco Rubio, let me just take a moment to say, what a sad man. That man could have been the senator who led the revolution and the rebellion against Donald Trump. Because he actually, he has a mind. He is a smart person. He could have said, let's put an end to this. But no, he's just absolutely, he's on board. And he has no choice. He can't fight back. He's not good at it. So it's disappointing to see these Republicans who, I don't want to say I would never have voted for them, but at least respected them for their positions at like five, six, 8 years ago, because they were of a sound mind. But now, it's just, like you said last week, Lindsey Graham plays one game of golf with him, and he's all of a sudden Trump's best friend.
Well, Elise Stefanik, who is a Republican from upstate New York.
Yeah.
And she was on, I think she was on Fox over the weekend. And it's essentially the same thing. It's like she played her own sound clip for her.
Yeah.
Elise Stefanik, she played her own voice back to her and said, this is what you said about Donald Trump in 2016 about how bad he was for women and his treatment of women. And she just had a meltdown, but still is right there backing him 100%.
Yep.
The level to which people are willing to prostrate themselves. That would be a whole nother issue.
Medically important. But.
And yes, but it's amazing to me.
Yeah, and you got like J.D. Vance, same thing, 4 years ago. Nothing, never Trump, never going to vote. I'm a Republican, and I find this shameful. Oh my God, just him and Tim Scott and Lindsey Graham and all those, everyone who just showed up at the courthouse. I just pathetic that not one of them can stand up. And at the very least, I didn't even say don't vote for him. I'm saying just stand up and say, yes, I will accept the election results in 2024.
But they can't do that if they're going to be in Trump's favor.
No. And even if they said they were going to, it doesn't matter. There'll still be a huge swath of people who won't. And Trump won't. That's the most important thing. It doesn't matter if Ron Johnson doesn't accept them or Tim Scott or Jim Jordan. They're nothing. They don't matter. It's Trump. As long as he doesn't accept them, that's what matters. That's what's going to take. Because if he wakes up tomorrow and says, oh, yeah, I did lose the 2020 election, people would lose their minds.
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. We will continue the conversation, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today we're talking credit scores. I mean, we all know we're supposed to have a good one, but what is a credit score? It's a number rating how likely you are to pay back a loan. Anytime you use credit, like your credit card or a mortgage, the info about what you borrowed and when you paid it gets sent to three credit bureaus: TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian. They track every transaction and compile detailed financial information on every single American. I mean, a little creepy, am I right? And they rate you on a scale from 300 to 850. Over 670 is good, and over 800 is excellent. Then the bureaus sell your rating to anybody who's thinking about lending you money, and you get a better or a worse deal based on your score. Best way to keep that score up is pay your bills on time. This is Carrie Joy from Work Money. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org or text MONEY to 88285. Take good care.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Good morning and welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text at the same number at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We were talking about the Republican State Convention was held in Appleton over the weekend, and still so many mixed messages about early voting and absentee ballot voting, because, again, the Republicans have been demonizing that for a decade.
Especially
mail-in voting is fraud.
Yeah.
Trump said it.
Yeah. They've never been a fan of it, but it none less than in the past 6 years.
Yeah.
Four, five, 6 years.
And now Brian Schimming, Republicans need to be realistic, he says. If state law that affects this election says we'll have drop boxes, we're going to do what it takes to win.
Yes. I mean,
which does not that in essence lend credence to the fact that drop boxes are legitimate?
Yes. Drop boxes are legitimate. They're safe. They should be legal. They're finally getting the memo. The problem is they have, I mean, the leader of their party is screaming, if you do this, this is election fraud. So they have to somehow negotiate that and find a place to exist in the middle on it, to say, almost to say, yes, just let him say it. Just let him say it. But go ahead.
We know better.
You can throw in the drop. It's fine. Nothing's going to happen to you. Nothing. And the people who truly love Trump are not going to vote early. They're going to vote on the day.
Because paper now is magical.
Yeah, exactly.
It's much better paper than it used to be.
Do you know what fights crime? Paper.
We have spoken to Keep Our Republic many, many times on this show. I think they're doing really great work trying to take people who have doubts about our elections to take them through the process of all the safeguards and checks and double checks that are already built into the system. And they had one of their seminars last week here in Waukesha. And it's very interesting how this went. She spoke with WISN's Upfront, Kathy Bernier, again, a member of the Republican Party, by the way,
yes,
who is with the group Keep Our Republic, holding seminars around the state, trying to inform people about how our elections work. Calvin, let's play that clip from Kathy Bernier.
There are certain people that have found it fruitful for them, either financially or otherwise, to go around and make statements about 2020 election that are just absolutely false and not provable. And I'm going to discuss a little bit of that tonight. I couldn't possibly go in to all of the things that they've said and all of the assertions they made about 2020. But every time Donald comes into the state and says he won this state, I just cringe, because it's like he may not know he's lying. People keep telling him. I mean, I had an interesting interaction with Christina Bob, and I'm like, well, if the people around him are telling him this, he probably really does believe it. So what am I to do? I'll just keep stating the truth, and the truth shall prevail.
You think it will?
I do. I think once we're past this and the 2024 election has come and gone, I think we'll be okay.
That's Kathy Bernier from the group Keep Our Republic. We've had her on the show. We've had Keep Our Republic on the show a number of times. They travel across the state holding seminars to explain how our elections work and why they are fair and secure, taking people through the process, trying to explain how hard it is to commit widespread voter fraud that's actually going to swing an election. It would be so difficult. But a couple of things I want to say, and we've had Kathy on the show numerous times. I give her so much credit for giving Donald Trump credit that he actually doesn't believe that the election was free and fair.
Yeah.
Just a reminder, Cassidy Hutchinson, who was the former top aide to White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, told the January 6th committee that former President Trump did not want people to know we lost.
Yeah.
He knows he lost.
He knows he lost.
He knows he lost.
Yeah. It's not, I'm sorry, it's just not up for debate anymore. And something else about, you know, like Kathy is wonderful, but she did make the statement in that same interview that I called my boss and said, I'm still a Republican.
Yeah.
Because that's where they're at now. To make a simple statement like the election was fair and safe and free and fine and without any massive plots can get you in trouble now.
Well, and despite all those good faith efforts, and I'm not surprised by this, WISN's Upfront talked to some people who attended that seminar last week in Waukesha. Calvin, let's play that clip.
This was useless. And I don't believe they're nonpartisan. And I don't believe you look at this stuff that they've got saying, we're focused on election integrity. We're focused like a laser beam on addressing election threats. They didn't focus on any of that stuff. What they tried to sell us is your elections can be trusted because look at, we've got this panel of experts up here. And the clerks did a great job.
And they had all the answers. The problem is they didn't have answers to the questions that we had.
Well, first of all, who wants a panel of experts?
Yeah.
That's suspect right away.
Also, okay. What were your questions?
Did Hugo Chavez buy
I'll just stop you right there,
space
Jane?
Lasers in Italy in order to change votes in Wisconsin?
I'm going to stop you right there. No. Done. Next question.
But you have to prove that didn't happen, Greg.
No, I don't. There are refreshments behind you. Enjoy. I mean, it's that like that just I can't even imagine what keeping our republic goes through every time they put together these events
and put themselves out there.
And they're just saying this is what we're like. This is not insulting the work they're doing or our process as a whole. Election integrity, quote unquote, is not a sexy topic to explain. It's not, you can't zhuzh it up. You're coming in there with a PowerPoint and a purpose. And the fact that they're like, oh, it was useless. It wasn't useless. You just didn't understand it.
Or you didn't get what you needed to back up your theories.
Yeah, you didn't get what you wanted to hear. You didn't get to, you wanted to like what you want to like. That's fine. But you like something that's wrong. So.
Well, we're going to have them back on because I think the work that they're doing is really important. And again, we have all respect for KOR. I just think they still have some work cut out for them.
Absolutely.
We have news on the way. And then when we return, very excited to be talking to Corrine Hendrickson from WECAN. It stands for Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed, and about all of their efforts to address the child care crisis we have not only in Wisconsin, but around the country as well. A lot of parents looking for help. A lot of child care providers looking for help. So stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is coming to you across the vast Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The leading Democrat in the Wisconsin Assembly says she thinks her party can take the majority this year. That would mean winning 52 seats in November.
It is a big lift for us to flip 15 seats in 1 year. No question. Do I think we're building the infrastructure to do it and have the candidates to do it? I do. I think it's entirely possible.
Representative Greta Neubauer told a WISP Politics luncheon last week lawmakers will have to be more responsive to voters under new maps no matter who wins in November. A Dodge County board member says he was never a risk to kids when he took a loaded gun with him to an elementary school in Neosho last week. Daniel Siegman was released last Thursday after spending the night in the Dodge County jail. He's charged with felony firearm possession on school grounds. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Now that Northland College is able to remain open beyond this school year, officials are sharing data from their water quality research buoys. According to a Northern News Now report, the college is launching a website that can offer data on water quality in real time for residents, including water temperature, algae levels, and other chemical levels. In addition to helping students at the environmentally focused college learn about testing water quality, the website will help keep residents better informed before they go swimming. Some Bayfield County residents are rallying against a proposed cell tower in the area. According to a Northern News Now report, community members took to the county board's zoning meeting on Thursday to argue against the tower on the northern tip of the Bayfield Peninsula. With input from the community, the committee passed a motion to build the tower under a conditional use permit, so the project can only move forward if it meets certain standards. Those standards have not yet been decided on by the committee. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Prime Video's Fallout is a multi-billionaire when it comes to minutes. Prime says the video game-based show was viewed for 2.6 billion minutes in its second week, just a 10% drop from its opening week, making it Prime's most viewed show ever, according to Yahoo Entertainment. Other shows in the top five for the week of April 15th through the 21st are Unlocked, A Jail Experience, Baby Reindeer, Shogun, and The Circle. So much content, so little time. Sure, signing up for a website that makes it easy to cheat on your spouse might sound like a good idea until you become a victim of the biggest data breach in history and find yourself in a Netflix documentary. Ashley Madison's Sex, Lies, and Scandal tells the story of how the site was rolling in cash until an employee decided to release the private information of 30 million users, many of them reality TV stars and politicians. Incidentally, the hacker responsible has never been caught and should probably lay low, as a lot of people have a bone to pick. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy today as highs tap the low 70s. Soaking showers and thunderstorms roll in overnight, bringing nearly an inch of rainfall and some thunderstorms tomorrow too. And some could be severe. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 57.
Earl Ingram.
Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
I've been marching since I was 17. I'm 74. And women need to get out. You need to vote because you don't want to go back to 1950 where you weren't allowed a credit card, where you weren't allowed to purchase a car or a home. These are things that are at stake.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I love my kids so much. I once sat for 3 hours in the cold rain to watch her soccer team lose by 18 goals.
I love my kids so much. I once used a tube to suck snot out of her stuffed nose at 3 a.m.
You win.
Love your kids? Love them enough to make sure they're in the right car seat. From toddlers to tweens, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat to find the right seat for their age and size. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian Mike Toomey and Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot, who gives us an overview of summer weather and tells us how to deal with ticks.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
good morning and welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join the conversation. Call or text at 855-752-4842 or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Very excited to have our next guest join us. She is with a group called WECAN. It stands for Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed. Corrine Hendrickson is here. Good morning, Corrine. Thank you so very much for joining us.
Good morning, and thanks for having me. If you hear kids in the background, I am. My family child care is open, and your next guest and I will switch. So she's taking care of them right now.
You're a little busy, I'm sure. So tell us, Corrine, a little bit about your background, please.
So yeah, I've been a family child care provider for 16 years. I do have my bachelor's in education. I was never going to go into early childhood and use that part because there's no money in it. Ha ha, here I am today. Just, you never know where life is going to, you know, send you. I started because I had a 10-month-old child and I had three very pregnant friends 17 years ago who could not find care. So this is not new. I said, should I quit my very good paying job in retail to start this business so that I can help you out and use my degree? And they said, sure, really? And so we did. And here I am today. And then about 12 years ago, I started advocating for children with special needs because it's so unbearably hard to find support to get those kiddos what they need. So that's what started myself and my colleague Brooke Ligler on this journey about 12 years ago. COVID hit 4 years ago, so we started WECAN and really started pushing on the idea that really at the core of the problem is the lack of wages for all of us in the field to stay, and that it's still too unaffordable for parents to pay, and that there has to be a better way, and it needs to change.
I cannot imagine the frustration of young families. I can't imagine the frustration for people like you who work in this industry. What is the average hourly wage for child care, early child care in Wisconsin? Do you know, Corrine?
Yes. So for child care programs, it is around $13.66 an hour for group centers. For family child care like myself, our average wage is around $8 an hour. That is an increase because of all the funding that came through the federal government. It was $3 less an hour before. Myself, this last year, because of all the raising rates for my insurance, my property taxes, my utilities, and my food, I lost $9,000 in income. My income went down. So my rates are now going to be going up to offset that.
I'm just trying to wrap my head around that. That is remarkable. That's really remarkable. And yet I think the one thing we can all agree on is how important childcare is and how important it is to have qualified people dealing with our littles until they go off to school, because you're doing more than just letting them run around like it's a doggy daycare center, right? I mean, there are educational components to the things that you do.
Yes, and those doggy daycare employees make more than we do, by the way. and their doggy daycare parents complain less about what they're paying. So yeah, so yes, it might look like the kids are just running around, running amok, having a good time playing, but while they're doing all those playing, we are there to support and nurture them. We are there to help them navigate when they're arguing over the same toy, when they're trying to figure out how do we share, how do we take turns, how do we become good humans, how do we understand consent, how do we respect others, and they're, you know, wanting to be alone or wanting to play with certain kids. And that is definitely a skill set not everyone has. And then I also partner with the parents to explain to them how this is all actually, you know, creating the entire foundation for their future, and how, you know, I'm working with them. And I'm doing a lot more parent handholding in the last few years than I ever have before, because parents aren't having as much experience with young children as they used to, because families are smaller. There's fewer friends having children, so they're just not around kids. And so we're doing a lot more of that parent education piece too. And we're really partnering with them. And that's not something you get in the K-12 system at all.
Right.
And that's what we do too.
Corrine Hendrickson is our guest. She is part of WECAN, which stands for Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed. I'm so glad you mentioned the part about teaching kids how to share. A long time ago, we were talking about something similar, and whose responsibility is it, and what components are all part of education? And I said at that time, too, aren't teachers responsible for kind of helping guide them about sharing, about empathy, about not being selfish about how to treat other people. And one guy blasted me and said, they should only be teaching reading, writing, and arithmetic, and they have no business teaching morals. Or it's like, what are you talking? What world are you living on?
Yeah, and you can't teach those things if the kids don't have the self-awareness and the capacity to sit still. And they don't learn that unless they've been taught how to interact with others in society and how, like, there's a time and a place for certain things and when to do that. And each environment is different. And they learn that situational awareness mostly those first 5 years by watching those adults and watching how we interact, and then also watching how, especially family childcare. I have young children, babies, all the way up to 12.
Wow.
Most of the time it's 0 to 5. Summertime, I get my alumni back. But really, those younger ones are watching how those older ones interact, and they're like taking it in and soaking it in, and they're observing that. And by them being able to observe that, they can then imitate it and practice it themselves. And that's what I remind people. These kids are practicing how to share. These kids are practicing learning how to take turns. They're practicing using their words. When they're little, sometimes it ends up being a push or a bite or a kick. But if we can help them understand and how to communicate and how it's okay to be mad, it's okay to have those big feelings, because I know I was taught bad, big feelings are bad. Being
right.
angry is bad.
Right.
And you need to hide that and you need to hold that in. Well, that's why we have these kids exploding in middle school and high school, because they've always held it in and they can't communicate.
I just think it's, you know, I think about that conversation we had, and I just imagine, you know, picking up your child from school and saying, you know, how was your day? Oh, a kid beat me up. Well, didn't the teacher do anything? No, it's not their job to do anything. Their job is to teach me reading, arithmetic, and social studies, and that's it. They don't get involved. Not their job.
Yeah, when he said that to me, I was honestly dumbfounded,
right.
Kareem.
Yeah, I don't think that would go well.
Yeah.
No, and the whole point of daycare before going into school is to kind of prep them, as you said, for that educational surrounding, so you can sit still, you can pay attention, you know not to bite the person who's sitting next to you, hopefully, by that point. You know, these are, and also, especially when you talk about helping out children with special needs, we know that private schools and charter schools can reject those kids out of hand. Public schools have to take those kids, so they too need some preparation for this setting.
They can reject them too after getting the money, let's not forget. They'll get the money for those kids, and then they can reject them because they don't, whatever standard they'd hold up to. That's an important component. And, you know, I mean, I guess one of the things that's really, are the solutions that are coming, the proposed solutions, I'll say, coming out of Madison to help your industry doesn't seem like the best solutions, as far as like letting you stay open longer and hiring children to take care of children. And I mean, it sounds like we just need proper funding, as with everything in education, we need proper funding.
Yep, absolutely. And that's what it comes down to. Other countries figured it out. Other countries used our actual studies and all of the economic wonderfulness to then do it in their own countries. But our own country can't do it. And yes, so in Madison, the Republicans are looking at it as a revenue problem. Well, you need more revenue, so stuff more kids in. That'll solve the problem. Well, okay, now I ask you to come into my program and imagine 4 more children in this room with me and tell me that I'm now able to earn my $12 an hour appropriately because now I have more children to care for. That doesn't help the kids with their education either, because if I have 4 more children, that's 4 more kids who need something at the exact same time, and I'm not able to meet those needs. By me not meeting those needs, their brains shut down because they are not safe. They don't feel comfortable. Their brains are no longer doing the little synopsis things that they need to do in order to actually learn. And so it becomes a bigger problem then later, because these kids will go off to school being even more unprepared. And the schools are even more unprepared because they're pushing down those academics at the same time. Same thing with that proper funding. Also, side note, private schools get more funding for kids with special needs than public schools.
Of course.
So they get like 90% of the funding. Our schools get around 30%. So on top of it, we have that extra. And that's another problem that we're running into, is because our child care programs, the best thing for those kids is to be included in our programs so that the children who are neurotypical understand that we accept other people and differences, and we sometimes have to be more patient. Kids who are struggling and have those special needs and need interventions need to be around children who are typical so that they can then learn from them. But the funding is cut so badly that I get like 2 hours a month from birth to three for a child with a lot of needs. And then I also have a hard time getting the school district to bring their person here to work with the kid instead of pulling them out and putting them in a restrictive environment instead of the least restrictive, which is the federal government's mandate.
Corrine Hendrickson is our guest. She's with Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed. What can our lawmakers do? What would you like to see our lawmakers do, Corrine, to make this better for everyone?
Invest in our children, invest in our families, invest in our workforce. And the Child Care Accounts program worked. We have more programs for the first time that are regulated compared to the year prior than we have in over a decade. We have 700 more programs that will accept subsidy for low-income families because of that extra funding. We have higher quality because we're able to pay people who can stay and use their knowledge and their skill set and have honed it, and they're in those classrooms still working with those children instead of taking that great skill set into any other job. Because that's the thing, is when we apply for a job somewhere else, we get that job within seconds because we have the skill sets, we have the people skills that are needed. So really, to keep us in, as any business owner knows, you need to pay people a worthy wage so that you can recruit and retain. But you also, at the end of the day, can't charge too much for your product or service because no one will purchase it. That's why we're stuck here. And yes, people think we're bad business owners, but we are excellent business owners, or we would have imploded about 50 years ago.
Are there
because
things
we can play that fine line?
What are some of the things that other countries have put into place that we have neglected to do here, even though it was our idea first?
Universal child care. We invest around $500 per child. Almost all of that goes to low income. Other countries do $10,000 per child a year, right there. They're investing in their children. They're investing in their families. They have paid family medical leave so those parents can bond with their babies. And also it helps alleviate that need for more educators with the really young ones because they're home with their parents instead. Other states are doing better. Minnesota put $1 billion in so that they basically have a program like our child care accounts where they put money in and it has to go to the wages. And then they also created an apprenticeship program that's a true apprenticeship program, not child labor, where they pay the apprentice, they pay the mentor, and then they are in the classroom working with the teacher to teach them how to be the teacher. So when they graduate at 18, they are ready then to be a teacher in a classroom.
Minnesota.
Yeah, we have Minnesota envy for so many different reasons. It's like, oh, fine. Go ahead, Minnesota. Be
why
better
you,
than us.
Why can't you be more like Minnesota?
If people are listening and they would like to get
We have fair maps. That's the hope. Well, that's what we're working towards that's what they did.
It's a start.
They got fair maps. Yeah. They flipped it. And we're working on it.
It's a start. All right. Corrine Hendrickson is with Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed. We will include the link to your website when we put the show notes up after the show is over. And we're going to continue talking about childcare with a colleague of yours. Sarah Cazell is coming up next. Corrine, we'll let you go back to your kids. Thank you so much for carving out a little time for us. We are definitely going to have you back. This issue is not going away anytime soon. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Yeah.
is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Save big money on everything for your next project at Menards. It doesn't matter what job you're up against. Works, cordless power tools, and lawn equipment have the power for you to get the job done faster and easier. The PowerShare 20-volt batteries run longer on a single charge, and they can be used with other Works tools. Check out Menards' entire selection of Works cordless power tools and lawn equipment today on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board, ready to take your calls and your texts at 855-752-4842. Or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 11 o'clock news, a round of the good, the bad, and oh, please make it go away. But we are going to continue talking about education right now. She is joining us. Sarah Cazell is here. Good morning, Sarah. Thanks for being here. And you had an op-ed that published today in the Wisconsin Examiner talking about... when it comes to raising kids, it actually does take a village. Can you explain about your op-ed that you published today?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having us on and talking about this really important issue. So the argument that I made in the piece this morning was that we all know that it takes a village to raise healthy kids, and supporting our next generation takes not just families doing everything they can to raise their kids and early educators coming together, but it really takes the entire community getting behind it and supporting it as a public good. And our elected officials listening to what their constituents need everybody.
It's interesting to me.
So we know that there's a childcare crisis in this country. Sure.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
We have a little lag time here.
Yeah, so we know that there's a childcare crisis in this country. Everybody is aware of the fact that the parents can't find and afford childcare, and everyone's becoming more aware of the fact that what's behind that is the low wages in the field. So teachers like me who want to devote their life to helping parents partner to raise strong, healthy families and support that next generation with their early education, we just can't afford to stay in the field on the wages that we're earning, because right now families and tuition fees are basically comprising, what our wages are. Without childcare investment, public investment, we're relying on what parents can afford to pay. And so that kind of limits how much that we can make in the field. So we were calling for more robust public funding in the early childhood field with this rally, so that, it doesn't fall on the parents to cover the entire cost of childcare. And it doesn't fall on the mostly women in the field like me who are doing this work to sacrifice, our own ability to, make a decent living and continue to stay in this field.
As Corrine said before you joined us, essentially, you can leave what you're doing now where you're making $8 to $12 or $13 an hour, which is just shocking to me. And because of the skill set that you have, you can go someplace else and get a job, probably no problem. And I was going to state the point earlier, we want everyone in the workforce. We want the unemployment rate low. We want, all of this is tied together. Parents can't go to work if they can't find childcare that they can afford. And if they can't find childcare that they can afford, then someone has to drop out and stay home to take care of the children. And then you're back to a one-income household, and most households can't afford that anymore. So this is all tied together, and I am blown away by the fact, from what Corrine said, to essentially making $8 to $10, $12, $13 an hour for what we love to say are our most precious resources, our children.
Absolutely. That was what I came to the rally to testify to. I mean, I have been in this field doing this work for nearly 20 years, and I am currently making $12 an hour to provide this essential service to make sure that, you know, the parents that of the kids that I take care of day to day can do their jobs, can, you know, participate in the economy fully, participate in the workforce. So the fact that I can barely scratch out a living, I have to keep a second job, I don't have access to healthcare coverage, and I haven't even started saving for retirement, I'm almost 40 years old. That is, you know, my story exemplifies the story that most people in the field experience. And so if we want to have a 21st century childcare system that truly works for everybody, the wages and the, you know, the workforce doing the childcare work has to be subsidized. We have to have public funding meeting that gap between what parents can afford to pay and, you know, what we need to continue to do this work.
Sarah Cazell is our guest, and she was at a rally that was held in Madison on Saturday. We only have a couple of minutes left. Sarah, what was the turnout like on Saturday in Madison?
You know, it was a great turnout, especially considering the really hot weather that we had. I think one of the most remarkable things about the rally was the breadth of perspective. That were shared. So we had not only parents talking about how hard it is to find care and afford it, not only providers like me talking about how hard it is to scratch out a living doing this work, but we had, you know, people making the economic argument from the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation talking about how drastically this impacts our economy. And we had elected officials coming together with us to talk about, you know, how we really need to have public policy and public funding match the needs of, you know, the reality of American family life and truly support our next generation with public investment in the earliest years of education.
Sarah Cazell is our guest. She is a child care provider, and she has an opinion piece in today's Wisconsin Examiner. We will make sure we include that in our show notes after the show is over. It takes about an hour for Greg to get our wonderfully detailed show notes up on the website. Sarah, thank you for the work you do. Thank you for the work that you and Corrine do and everyone who provides this crucially important child care, not just for the kids, but for the parents. And as you said, prepping them for the future and school and hopefully becoming a healthy part of American society. It's absolutely important. We're going to keep this conversation going over the next few months. So thank you so very much, Sarah Cazell, for joining us. Really appreciate it. I know we will be talking to you again. You better get back to your kids.
Thank you.
Stay with us. News is coming up next. And then when we return, a round of the good, the bad, and oh, please make it go away. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us as we look back on the news of the weekend and how the Willie Nelson concert was and your phone calls. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going.
Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.